야, 다시 하나. 다른데 심지지 동어 선천물 다른데 저게 저게 동이나 저 동이나 뒤뜨기 친 당연하다 무시 마 준주 샤도 마 차지 전에 야무도 선천수
you have been distributed the sheet yeah
저 안 과연 말 한도 과연
I wanted to do this perform this ceremony of generating the awakening mind, but perhaps we will go through the text of Shantideva first, and then at the end we will perform this ceremony.
Daniela, at the Zawa Shiruk, treasure the Jisungduwa. Hangi 这边有希望是这边有希望是真的这边有希望是的可能是用过的用药是的可能是什么呢呃居然没哪里啊早上过年出去的提醒你也没事的日语是的旅行过大多上去你不见是的接受的话但是呢呃三五七的 And the Gomuludugi, that chin deva Nalonia, any chither may tagwe ku, Nazo Timmy Timache, chither may Nangjuna, any Timachin you claim in that. Tishi was a wise sim, Raja Nazo Timache, Kalaranzi Rundi, Kanda Vesegi. 늦어서 Timothy, Vesek, Nagada, Tinny Shave, Dinju Tequan Shave Tigi, Vesek, Timothy, Chigris, Timajang Jurus, any Vesek, Semdi, Laku, any Kazuri, Ganda, Chad, remember in the Zane, Dagada, Tishu, some innocent, that's what they are, that diggy. Got a sending the Chimada, Simnuti, that Chavadua. So, the Simcora, Ranking USA was a shaggy. Belonger, as you need to try on Chashani, Chowdang Lope, Shuksham Shuji, you think it's here, or Sim Chisi, Mondo Juba Tisido. 차단원도 주되기 말하되 안에서 통도가 니네 나만 개외 신니 미치기 줄라 두것이 현재 소도가 유직을 미네 두직을 아니 빼나 시랑다 참반이 우리 유직을 미네 두직을 그 계속 말해 가려서나 그 겨차도 나만 겨차도 그와 레디이네 Tugnashi, you so in it, Yana, you chill in it, Tugnashi, Shani, Chambajeada, Shedanja, Yumdua. So, dig cut that thing was Lavina. So, around the same day, Korachik soon never was named Lumadian Tedding. Timothy the Lubu was having it. Saturday in the Zane, that Timothy, the charging neck or two Chinese Zibi in it, Dodd Nedding is a member. Nine, Cuscanian Lavan Nancy. 너무 이제 인신자래야 때 럭시샤 진실로 럭차 그래서 근데 인도 대당 진당 계획 럭지 이해되었다 진당 계획 럭지 럭 든든샤의 인도 top chair de ji ko tren xin sha de wa sa de ji da ne ji wa ne ga da ji mo lu wo yin bu jik tu da de ne ji mo lu wo nyen bu tam de ye ba da mo chi lo lo yin ba da di cha ne ko da lu wo jik cha da da di nyen bu cha di cha ji ne ko jun zen de ma sha 니네 고슴을 댐베 연댄차 고슴을 댐베 연댄디 곰슴바 베즈 깨마다 댐는 거봐 직차 니네 댄슴 디 댄 댐베를 써봐래 다 디에 댄 댐베 삼다디 공연 왕신다고 삼다나 댄 댐베 삼다 누가 다 이룰래 이룰다면 멍구 지게래 인주자네 Tinitana Samdana, Yuru Rabadi, Ten Tabara, Chirminua. So Tadu Samdana, Puya, those day in the New May Simpson at the under Tokyo. Toma the Tama Travas, Toma the Tama Veda, New May Sim. Diganeta Samdana Vina, Ten Tabas said, and what a song is quite a while. So that D Shaba, this Casuri Puget, Savage and Yedavati, Malami Community, Turning Yard.
At the beginning, I would like to make a few comments about related to the opening salutation verse of Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, where Nagarjuna pays homage to the Buddha for teaching the nature of teaching of dependent origination. So where he states that Buddha taught the path for total pacification and total calming of the conceptual elaborations by means of understanding the nature of dependent origination. So this ultimate nature of reality, of dependent origination, refers to the emptiness that we spoke about. And the point Nagarjuna is making here is that it is by means of internalizing and embodying that insight of into dependent origination that one brings to an end all the conceptual elaborations. So this this the question then is, you know, on why, you know, what makes it possible for us to attain this total pacification of conceptual elaborations by means of cultivating the insight into dependent origination, in other words, the wisdom of emptiness. What makes this possible is because of the basis that we all possess within ourselves naturally. And here I'm referring to the presence of Buddha nature in all of us. And as pointed out in Maitreya's Uttara Tantra, Sublime Continuum, where he explains how the Buddha's enlightened activities pervade all sentient beings, and how the pollutants of the mind are adventitious, and how each and every sentient being possesses the essence of Buddhahood. Similarly, there's a very clear or explicit statement of this in Nagarjuna's praise or hymns to the ultimate expanse, where he gives the analogy of metal armor which can be cleansed by burning into fire, where the armor still remains intact, although the dirt So it is a special kind of probably woven clothes or dress which by burning, one can clean the dust, dirt, but the clothes remains intact. In a similar manner, Nagarjuna says that the pollutants of the mind can be cleansed through the wisdom of understanding the deeper nature of reality, ultimate nature of reality, but the clear light of the mind, the basic clear light mind, remains intact. So what this suggests is that the pollutants of the mind that obscure and defile our mind are first of all removable in principle, and also they are advantages. They are not essential part of the mind itself. So one needs to be able to differentiate between the basic mind and the afflictions that pollute the mind. So afflictions are the pollutants, and the basic quality of the mind is this clear light. And so what we find here is that and even in our day-to-day experience, from our own personal experience, we can become aware of how the basic mind and the afflictions are different, distinct. For example, even though an individual may be very prone to a particular type of emotions like anger or attachment or lust, but even in that case, the person is fully aware that these the lust or anger, it does not remain all the time in that individual's mind. So what this suggests is that the basic mind itself is neutral, and it is the pollute, the emotions, the afflictive emotions that arise and color it and then permeate it. But so far as, as long as the individual is conscious, as long as consciousness remains manifest in that individual, the afflictions arise and then subside. They do not remain constant all the time. So what this suggests is the kind of the temporal nature of these pollutants, the afflictions. Furthermore, we also know that these afflictions are rooted in a distorted way of seeing things, and they involve a lot of falsification and distortion. And because of this, we also know that these afflictions have their opposing counterfactors or counterforces. So when you compare the two, between the pollutants on the one side and their counterforces on the other, the antidotes on the other, the difference is that in the case of the pollutants, because they are grounded in ignorance, because they involve distortion, and they are distorted states of mind, they have no grounding in reality and reason. And secondly, in contrast, the antidotes, the counterforces, such as loving kindness or wisdom and insight and so on, these not only directly oppose these pollutants, but also they have valid grounding in reason and experience, so they have a much greater stability. So furthermore, these antidotes, the counterforces such as loving kindness, compassion, and so on, they have a very stable foundation or very stable basis, because they are unlike physical qualities, they are mental qualities. And because of this, these qualities are much more enduring. And it is on this on these premises we understand that the basic mind is, the nature of the mind is a clear light, and the pollutants are advantageous, and therefore they are removable. And now the question is, in what way we can understand the stability of the basis of these mental qualities? Now here, when we talk about the mind as the basis of these qualities, we cannot understand these in terms of the sensory experiences, because the sensory experiences are again quite ephemeral. They are on a more consciousness, and many of our thoughts and emotions again are not that stable. So the stability of the basis of these mental qualities is best understood if we understand these qualities being grounded in the basic clear light Buddhist texts refer to as the innate mind, the ever-present innate mind. And on the explanation, on the description of what such an innate mind is and what these characteristics are, and then we find the clearest explanation in the Vajrayana, particularly in the highest yoga tantra texts.
Jaisang Sheba Ya Thara Mokshim Shiyawa Chigi 电子产呢，那说设立让车企和电压给和女士有过路的。所以当天了呀，南西给，哎呢，我们是米绿布，这个的，这个来白丢了烧啊，烧热的，把它这个点点给炸的，但点点了点点那个，写了这个有他就是不的，点点是因为印章，米绿了点点呗，写了这个了，然后那个米写了写了都了不要的，在这里面在呢。等着的，个绿地的等等也差的要了，绿地干能干住的，个电影的干住是啥呢？电把光干住的。再一呢，个绿地电钱把空虚了，填了电呢，谁的我家的绿库上给钱不了收呢？绿土了不给钱不了收呢？但是鸟都少些的。是，但三姐妹兄弟送不赢呢，但个谁的我家的人都要的是，啊，这里面就是呢，到底。
So we find differentiations made in the mental world in terms of different levels of subtlety and grossness. And this seems to be actually quite obvious because even in our day-to-day experience, we can understand different levels of experience. For example, the experiences during the waking state, the consciousness during the dream state, during the deep sleep states, and so on. So there seems to be subtleties in our experiences of consciousness during these moments. So when we speak of consciousness, the term shepa, which is sometimes translated as awareness as well, it connotes something that one is aware of, kind of a conscious state, but it need not necessarily relate to a conscious state of awareness. It may also refer to a more underlying potential. So for example, in a deep sleep, although the individual may not experience a conscious state of awareness, but the potential still remains, so that when confronted with the condition, immediately the conscious awareness can arise. So, and if we examine these different this whole spectrum of our experience of consciousness, a large part of that conscious experience of consciousness, will be contingent upon the physiology of the sentient being. So, in the case of human beings, it will be primarily contingent upon our brain, the neurons, and the processes, and so on. And because of this, we call our consciousness human consciousness, and our awareness human awareness, because it is contingent upon a particular physical embodiment. The question then is: are all dimensions of human consciousness contingent upon the human body? So, of course, a large part of our experience of consciousness is contingent upon the brain activity. The question then is, what is it that makes cognitions have this quality of awareness, this quality of luminosity? Now here, it is a very significant question, and of course a very complicated issue. The Buddhists would argue that in so far as the basic quality of that clarity of the mind is concerned, this clear light mind is concerned, this is not contingent upon a physical basis. And therefore Buddhism talks about the origination and arising of consciousness in terms of its own continuum. And it is on the basis of the continuum of this subtle consciousness we also understand the idea of rebirth and so on. Of course, this is a matter of great inquiry and complexity as well.
但是城里那老在今天个，来把咱南西个电话挂的这个南西个，他说的南西南道是这个绿绿啊，如果可能是住个面，偏南还有个面， 다 님십 중에 축적전 로딕라 샤디도와 샤인드스도와.
And of course, these days there's a growing interest among the scientists to try to understand the mechanics by which mental processes such as thoughts and emotions and so on can bring about an effect on the biological brain level. So it's becoming a very interesting field of study.
So that the lead into under the 진대시 네급지다 라블루브르의 시에바 모두 주변 네급기 시에베네다로 직전이 가르니디 직 단육매 시에바 짱짱 내베 네급라 라블시오지든 가나마도 용도 매베 다 이나야 라블 시에바 디디에 세리를 왔다 자 델라야 세리기 누가지 도와달라야 대 영사대 외세 육매 외세기 그 직전에 레인구 알아보다. 자 지난 인류자네 안다 외세기 직제 켜져버지 해지래. 따이나야 육매 시바 냐지 계시에도 루보디드 가구 알아. 낭제 토슨 다 런시 계주 군도 대내에는 낭제 토슨 이게 가네. 아니 가베 제라 사대바디 다 뉴메베세 지 랑즈버 식다 사대야 디 말이 저도 디 영원이야 아니 그거 알람이 숨네 샤샤바 지 쩔룽 쩔룽 그냥 네 디디 다 저할리리 그래
so what we find is broadly two categories of consciousness on the one hand are those grosser levels of consciousness which are adventitious, which are ephemeral and then on the other side you have a category of consciousness which are subtle and innate and they have their nature as innate and ever-present so between these two in order for the innate subtle level of consciousness to become fully manifest and remain in order for this to fully manifest and be present alone, the grosser levels of consciousness, the adventitious processes of mind and emotions and thoughts have to come to an end. So it's by bringing to an end the processes of the grosser levels of consciousness that the innate mind is made manifest, fully present. And it is, although even the grosser levels of consciousness are in principle permeated by the subtle level of consciousness, subtle quality of consciousness of clear light. But in order for the clear light innate mind to fully become manifest, the grosser levels of consciousness has to come, has to be dissolved. And so with respect to this, we find methods, meditative practices in the highest yoga tantra that involve the practices of channels, employment of channels and the winds and the vital drops and so on. And it is through these kind of meditation practices one is able to withdraw and dissolve the grosser activities of the grosser levels of consciousness.
So today in this anime, 안다 군신론 자연 세배 둠도 사회 나눠야 디도와 유주 땡자 년부 초배 쳤어 어 칠수 땡자 년부 초배 쳤다 지조 지매조 유도 오면 면제기 다가다 돌람다 유도 오면 면제리야 지매조 땡야리스 뉴몬베 집어다 아자잔디 시제 집어 땡야리스 자 니나 집에 지매조 땡야리 chimezo ten yoredi, yine di nyambu di ten yomaris, nyambu tudu ten yomaris, tisu ten yomaris, nyambu chope chil. Zara. Ta yuzu ten ya, yuzhen chope chil. Yuzhu to tungi chamundi mare. Yuzhu vese chamundi, tungi chamundi. Yuzhu vese tungi chamundi, paru du chimbe, ene shungu kaliya, chi chimbe, ten yoredi, ene tin jeji, yuzhen ju vese, tashi chawadi, ten yomaris. Yuzu ten ya, yuzhen chope chil. Ta tigi yana, tisu ten ya, nyambu chope chil. Ta digi domde, Shidip chungcha ngaren dominus. That shidip tasha tao. De, quasopuke, mosopuke, bongji, nyambu de, any, nga lami kumi sungshewe, nyume vese, da, nanjo, gene, da, nyume vese, da, duni dove, ada, tiki dala, the kasi, dala chindewe, dala shedewe, duni, nyume vese de, duni musu dove, sandoni ya, da, geachi. Dinish mojubodo,
Because of these points, Jamyang Shepa at the towards the end of his root lines on Indian philosophies makes the following statement by comparing Sutra, the perfection of vehicle, and Vajrayana, tantric vehicle. He says that. Although in the sutra vehicle, the perfection vehicle, and the highest object, which is referring to emptiness, the subtlest emptiness, has been presented, but the supreme subjective experience of that emptiness has not been presented, has been conceived. Similarly, although the deepest understanding of the nature of the defilements are presented in the sutra teachings, the perfection teachings, however, the highest antidote to these afflictions have been concealed. Therefore, he explains the highest object is the emptiness, but the highest subjective experience that has been concealed in the perfection vehicle that Jamyang Shepa is referring to is the experience of emptiness, direct experience of emptiness. On the level of the innate mind of clear light, and that has been hidden in the sutra teachings. Similarly, the deepest understanding of the defilements have been explained, but the subtle defilements have been explained, but the highest antidote to these defilements has been concealed. And here again, he is referring to the cultivation of the penetrative insight on the level of focused on emptiness, on the level of clear light lens, that the subtle obscurations to omniscience can only be removed by means of the practice of Vajrayana, highest yoga tantra, and not perfection vehicle. So the point is that when we reflect deeply upon a statement such as in Nagarjuna's salutation verse, where he talks about total pacification of all conceptual elaborations, or total calming of all conceptual elaborations. Although in Nagarjuna's own text, he is not making explicit references to Vajrayana teachings, but in order to fully understand the implications of that statement, the idea of total pacification of all conceptual elaborations, one needs to bring together the understanding of the teachings of the entire Buddhist path of perfection vehicle of Mahayana, teachings of the lesser vehicles, and also the teachings of the Vajrayana, highest yoga tantra as well.
That Kazangado to Nimusum Chendi Chayagi, Nimatangu de Dinshi Chenin, Tabachi Tumung, Kasore, 제 라무르 다체 다제네 가서 시진기 슝기 다 데샤르마 비치슈제 다제 태고침부 슝체 태진 도대샤체 다제네 들이 자실을 보다 최주 이와 진리 타네 디르만 제님 엔다 마크 캬버지 슈제 다가다 태고슝마 잡아 예 나르제 지지셔 무지.
So in these 3 days of teachings, what I've tried to do in my introductory comments is to try to present a kind of a general overview, an introduction to the entire spectrum of the Buddha's teachings. So in the first day, the Nalanda tradition. His Holiness is asking Professor Thurman what do you think of calling Nalanda tradition? So on
he
the
agree. He agree.
So on the first day by explaining primarily the teachings of the Four Noble Truths, what we have covered is the foundational teachings of the Buddhist path, which is common to all Buddhist schools, so that we have covered the foundational elements or foundational teachings or foundational practices of the Buddhist path. And on the second day, by opening with comments on the subject matter, the explicit and implicit subject matter of the Perfection of Wisdom scriptures, I presented a brief introduction to the key elements of the great vehicle, the Mahayana path. And today, opening with comments on Nagarjuna's salutation verse, and particularly focusing on the expression pacification of all conceptual elaborations, I've made a brief introduction to the key ideas of the Vajrayana path, particularly the highest yoga tantra. So that means that in these 3 days you have been given a basic introduction to the overall approach of the Buddhist path, the Nalanda tradition.
Tan lo jong, tan jin ne jie duwa, kai de tel du ne we, tan la min chi mi sung, zhen le ba yi na, le da da xian ji dong ye di ge, zhang ta ge nu mi duwa, zhan ge ba da xia wa xia ma zhen le ba yi na, ta ge nu gu yi yan na da, mang be dong ye di ye, xi ma yong ya ta xia de xia wa min du, ka le zhen mang be dong ye bu ru zhu ju le, zhen de ni zhen an nu ya ge mi duwa. So, Mongbe, you don't need me, China. Did she sums? Target any young number, number of thought, lobotes. Tamongbe, do me the, yes, sungu, carisla, tadangadida, Mongbe, not the chigurisla, you know. That has been much chingzi, she, you are. Much chingzi, 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 shine zanem ene yudurin shin den yonde aji yonde do sa di ko shizu di ta ne mushi jing jing de do dumju ri di di kor yudurin shin manje bi sheje kor kudu 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 de ma do yumu ya ma re so pa pa la yudurin shin den yonde ge ya re sa de ri du 到底我是真正的登进去登进去的职权 대 무지 징징이 다 찌기다 동행이 뭐 이런 사람이 숨그리 사실 로 리도 와 자자가 다기 되는 용량배 마음바나 동행이 내 용구리 시자네 무슨 증진되다 다하기 가서 그래 지금 나올 필요도 와 다하기 다 가서 그래 로슬링도 와 다고 오냐면 로슬링도 와 저는 이제 다하기 되는 용냐면 진대기 로디 야우삼다노 나버리스 자신의 무슨 증진이 등진고 지로 로리 니네 다 무슬마 예도로 지금 라와 풍불로 때려내봐 라와로 지불로 샤대야디 논주지 로도리스 Namurtoti, Lobotis. Did the shoe on Shenila, Kiawayan, Shenyins. Kada Nigel Sosola, Tene Tasha, Taja Shavir in Dizane, Taso Soso, Kada Kuratuxina, who Madame Rachadis and Kotelatan, the Tadi, Medo Chadios, Pano Loshebe Kadugi, Pumbu, Shembe Kadula, Tasha, Mati, Shunuimbari, Pumbu Gabe Nigel, Pumula Tene Tabe, Mati, Gambuimbari. 봐, 겸부디 신을 따와서 말봐. 그다고 겸부 겸병아디 겸부를 때는 따셔다 차대도 와. 저상고 덕시 신이로 모르고 누르잖아. 저럴 때 당주 거에 애는 매다매다 샤 용도 와. 그 무슨 지금 뭐이나? 애는 그 덕시를 때는 따고 뭐인 봐. 그걸 라운 건데 두대 배지 뭐이나? 애는 것이 증세 거의 대마로 차 초도와 이 말하다 사실은 이 말인데 자네 시원 신인의 교화연의 신인
Now we will begin go back to Shantideva's text and reading from verse 97 So here Shantideva continues with the argumentation and dealing with the objections that you know that might naturally come to our mind with respect to the need to relieve others' suffering. So Shantideva raises the objection that if you know why should if someone you know has the thought why should I be concerned about relieving other people's suffering because they do not affect me at all. Shantideva says that in that case you should not by that logic you should not be concerned about your own future sufferings because they don't affect you right now at this point and then one could respond to this which is presented in verse 98 that yes although my future sufferings are not real now but I will experience them in future and therefore you know, I should make efforts to prevent myself from the future sufferings. So Shantideva here then analyzes why is it, you know, rational to think that, you know, working to relieve future suffering is okay and not relieving others' suffering. So Shantideva points out that in fact this idea that, one's own future suffering must be removed is based upon, quite often, upon certain false assumptions. One is that we tend to conflate at the temporal stage of one's own being. So, and this is, we tend to have a sense that this present me is the same person who is going to be experiencing those pain in the future. So there is a conflation of time, which is often the case with respect to thoughts. You know, thoughts, unlike sensory experiences, which are more immediate, thoughts tend to relate to events and things whereby they would conflate time, space and even the identities of the objects that they relate to. So Shantideva points out that in fact underlying this idea of the identity across time is a belief in permanence. And similarly, and there is also underlying this a notion of some kind of independent self that remains unchanging through or across time. So Shantideva points out that both of these assumptions are actually false. So there is no rational basis for making the effort. And in fact, in a sense, we do know that the person who goes through these temporal processes change because the label that we give, the person is a label, and the label that we give is contingent upon the physical and the mental faculties of the mental constituents of the individual. So therefore we talk about a young person, we talk about an elder person, and which implies that the label young person is contingent upon a particular temporal stage of the same individual, and the old person is another label on a different temporal point. So we do acknowledge the differentiations, but still we tend to make the assumption there is one thing, one person, one self that goes across. Then Chandradeva then again subjects this idea, our assumptions, to and reveals its essential irrationality, and says that if one insists that it's the very person who is going to suffer has to relieve his own suffering, then Chandradeva says that by that logic, then the pain of your legs should not be removed by soothed by your hands. So because the hand is not your leg, so therefore the leg should relieve its own pain, not by hand. And we could probably in the case of some animals we could reverse it. So
give me one agenda.
So here it is, of course, in the context of human, with relation to human beings. So we cannot say the hands, we cannot say that the hands' pain can be relieved by our legs. Maybe the monkeys can do it, but not the humans.
他说的这个单呢大学的这里俺俺说老了对面让俺给约不得我难得不得弄出来的真的是要嘛的是闹到的没得不得行不得唱嘛了说行嗯说行嗯今天印度那东西用不都是谁的呀给俺过来要是上当了你也要嘛的是东西讲讲太麻烦天天就熟悉忘就是东西打过麻烦你他们这些的麻烦你 동네인지 자세히 잘 내면 니네 지시자 세는 대달 애니 수동에 와서 나 동네 쓰고 그래도 나 쓰고 그래서 나 니야 믿어봐 자 니네 저부터 랑지고 모임바 센자 타다리야 동네에 나서 나디 니야 믿어봐 자 니야 말이지 동네 따고 매번 탐지 지다 매번이 이네 이나야 나도 로 텐지라 디두부 초와
娘是牛逼啊的，地主不错啊，对吧？都面对吧，咱台湾对吧？都面对吧，老天界的人讲的有啊的。哎呢，当时在你也要嘛的的，马达马这边讲的呀，台湾要的，东面要的，东面财富要的，东面啊，东面财富要的，台湾我们都财富要的，台湾土股要的，我说他哪里，中间在嘛的，所以你们就讲呢，当时虽然个老了呀，这个。
洛天杰了，这个不要说了，不给出租了，这下的地团的老板的，人家其实，哎，我来单排对面着，哦，当主持人呢，我呢，哎，地主娘娘过来买不赢呢，哎，地主电话主要的，东面是那个买手过来打起，哎，你钱呢，就在买不了，是打买不了，是老板赢呢，真买的是，东面是这些啥子，马达马这边，他那边，我来呀，地主要的，你们印度。 동네면도가 인도 동네 쓰고 그래서 동네인지 대사자 내면 지시 지시자스 다 현지 동네 레타나 마저체 랑기 동네를 타치도다 내배관 그래서 다 랑기 동네 세워 코나다 전부 되게 아니 현지 동네를 미상벌 랑기 동네 코나라 다 바 가서 토나로 제제 시대하디 동네 치다고 찍었다
내가 전설 소화 때문에 만들고 있어요. 탐제 다 동해 민두부 찍어버리 민두부 동해 텔레 아니 봐 전도 이거 삼아 찍어 탄도 이거 삼아 찍어버리 들이면 인도 탐제가 동해 세고 우리 소화 동해 인제 대사자 내면 되는 지시자스
Then in verse 100 Shantideva then entertains the thought on the part of the opponent or interlocutor the idea that yes, maybe my assumptions that are false. The idea that there is one person across time, and there is a person that is independent of the temporal stages. Maybe these assumptions are irrational, but still, you know, I am going to persist in my attempt to relieve my future sufferings and my own sufferings. And then Shantideva responds to this by pointing out that this, however, is not an appropriate approach on the part of a practitioner who is engaged in a pursuit where one is trying to sift through our mental our awareness, our understanding, and our way of relating to things, and try to cultivate a more rational, more realistic, and more appropriate way of being. Therefore, simply to insist that even though it may be irrational, I'm going to do it anyway, it doesn't really work. So, and then Shantideva then goes on to explain that in actual fact, and the very concept of continuity, collections, and so on, these are constructs of the mind. Like garlands and like army, and so these are kind of, you know, construct of the mind where, you know, when we think of parts and whole, properties, things and their properties, and so on, we get the impression as if they are independent of each other. They have distinct self-identifying characteristics. But if that is the case, then one should be able to posit the reality of, say, a whole, independent of the parts. But this is not the case. Once we remove the parts away, there is no such thing as a whole. Similarly, when we think of things and properties, once we remove the properties away, then there is no such thing as thing that is independent of these properties. So therefore, Shantideva goes on to explain that the concepts such as continuity and collections and aggregations and so on, these are constructs. Therefore, concepts like self and the continuity are also constructs. And then furthermore, he argues that if you examine deeply, carefully, in fact, the sufferings have no ownership, because normally when we relate to our own pain, we tend to relate it as I'm experiencing pain, I'm sick. We have this very strong sense of self, and we have the sense of ownership of that pain and suffering. But if you examine carefully, since the concept of self, independent self, is untenable, in reality there is no ownership to the suffering. So not only it is the case with oneself individual, but also with the relation to others. If you subject them to the same analysis, sufferings do not have true ownership. And then the question is raised, if there is no such thing as self that is experiencing these pain, if sufferings have no owners, then that means what is the point of trying to relieve suffering in the first place? And then here Shantideva says that yes, in actual, on the ultimate level, sufferings have no owners, but on the conventional level, from the perspective of our everyday experience, sufferings do exist. Therefore, they are one must, they deserve to be removed because they are suffering.
Conventional, the ultimate level,
so when you subject them to critical analysis, they are unfindable, they cannot be found. But on an unexamined, everyday, a naive everyday level, then sufferings do exist, and therefore sufferings deserve to be removed by the simple virtue of the fact that they are suffering. So Shantideva explains that all other suffering deserve to be removed, and in fact our approach of somehow privileging our own suffering as something deserving to be removed is an irrational approach, because of all the spectrum of suffering, we are solidifying one particular type of suffering and privileging it. In actual reality, all sufferings deserve to be removed. A little remark on this expression of a critical analysis. When subject to critical analysis, things and events are unfindable, and how on the level of unexamined, naive perspective, things and events do exist. So when we speak of critical analysis here, we're not talking about everyday analysis. Like, for example, if you if you are concerned that you may be sick, then you need to be examined. You have to go to the doctor, and doctor has to subject you to all sorts of examinations. So we're not talking about those kind of examination or analysis. Similarly, you know, we talk about, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, and you make observations and so on. What we are concerned with analysis here is a form of analysis that goes beyond the boundaries of our ordinary understanding. So, for example, normally when we relate to the world, when we when we use concepts and thoughts and terms, we relate to the world on the basis of the our perception and the appearance of things to us. And if we move beyond the framework of that everyday understanding and discourse, and then to ask what exactly is the true essence of that thing, and then we are entering into the domain of critical analysis, because we are dissatisfied by the framework of the everyday experience. We go beyond and inquire something deeper about the ultimate mode of being of things. So that is what is meant by. So when we do that kind of analysis, then we find that everything is unfindable. They are untenable. For example, we think of ourselves as having some kind of true existence. You know, I'm here. But if you immediately put a question, is it your body that is you, or is it your mind that is you? But where is that I? Immediately, you know, it becomes the concept gets dismantled. Similarly, in Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, he subjects the concept of Tathagata, the Blessed One, to analysis, and says, "Are the aggregates of Tathagata the Tathagata, or is it the enlightened mind of the Tathagata that is the Tathagata, and so on?" So when we, for example, as Buddhists, we talk about the Buddha, and if we ask, is the Buddha's body the enlightened being, or is his mind, is speech that is the true Buddha, or is it his mind, the enlightened mind? Then when you subject anything into that kind of to that kind of critical analysis, then the solidity of the concepts, you know, just gets dismantled. So that's what we mean by, when subject to critical analysis, things and events are unfindable.
Oh, so that is many adi, many many mare, ko yare di yadan di, tindis chini zani ni yu yabaji thala mare. So that is many zani, anda that is karaslam, thayang karaslam na, nang zambati.
So the fact that things and events are unfindable when subject to such critical analysis doesn't imply or indicate their non-existence. Things and events do exist, but what it implies or indicates is their absence of intrinsic existence, absence of independent existence. Because normally when we relate to things, for example, when we speak about the reality, existence of things and events, if we understand them, if we understand them on the basis of their dependent nature, their origination on the basis of mere dependence upon other factors, on their origination and functions in terms of our everyday experience, then there is no problem. The problem is if we go beyond that and try to seek some kind of objective grounding to their reality, some kind of intrinsic essence to them, then if things and events do possess objective reality, then the more we search for their essence, the reality of the phenomena should become more and more clear. The more we subject them to detailed analysis, the lesser their reality, and then they seem to sort of become dismantled. So what this suggests is that we should understand. So the question is not so much about the existence of things and events. The question is about what is the manner of their existence? What is the mode of being of things and events? So here, if we postulate some kind of objective, independent reality to things, then they should be findable. But when we subject them to critical analysis, the fact that they cannot be found indicates that things and events, and in fact all phenomena, lack such objective, intrinsic reality.
자랑이 그세한 당고스 대하디 빈중기 때 코난이 있으니 직디 개체부 차야디 루루구 자실을 나가리야 땡신 잡을 중앙과 땡의 동반이 있으시 생송 대하디 라비니스 거래 라비니스 수십을 왜 힘들어 라비니스 수십을 세노 동반이 동반이 있으니 세 대하디 가서 걸어서 너희는 땡의 다고스 거래 있으 자랑 땡신 잡을 중앙 rāwāṅga tūbhya tōṅ tāla tōṅgā sīkīyās tīrī yīndū tēne tēne tāpa tēs sā tīrī yīndū kō tēne tēn jīn drēpa rāñ jūvā jīgī tā tēne jūvā jīgī yīndū kō tēne tāpa rēs tēne tās lābdū kō rāwāṅga tūbhya na shēnjīla tēne tāpa mīdu wā khuara ngō tī rēs lāb chūgur wā pēnā sāngjī jāngu bīdā pali tī nā nāla yā 모니기도는 드니 샤베 초베 때내다고 지차 뺏어도 치르 지무시라는 말을 든다 되리 모니도되나 때내다고 말하다 저다고 모니도는 대가랑 디제 신의 샤샨 디브리디 딘 미누바 니미누바 과인네 삼다는 니미누바 저딘데 인도 우투세 다 때내다고 그랬어도 샤암도 저 모니기도는 때내다고 지차 사다 되리샤 모니기도는 드니 샤베 초베 ene tene takwe jisha sungdaya da kere sada tene takwa sisane ko teme rawang dhubwa mebate koyong dhuwa sada dhile yindu tenche dhebron chungwa ko tene tongpa nyingdhisho tene tene takwa deyis dini ume lamino sungdhisane ko tene takwa yindu sane ko takwa yindu tene shaba yindu rawang dhubwa mebate tangda tse tene takwa yodwa yindu sane meta tse ene ume lamino yung dhuwa shi uma sada dhiga alik dhuwa
So this is why I explained yesterday and the day before. It is very important to fully appreciate the significance of Nagarjuna's expression, the suchness in terms of dependent origination, or ultimate reality in terms of dependent origination. So, for example, in his 24th chapter of Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, Nagarjuna makes there is a stanza where he says that whatever is dependently originated, and that has been taught to be empty, and this is dependently designated, and this is the middle way. So what Nagarjuna is suggesting here is that the fact that all phenomena are dependently originated suggests that all phenomena are devoid of a nature that defines them as independent. Their existence and origination can only be understood in the context of dependent relationships. And because of this, nothing possesses an intrinsic, independent nature. And the absence of such independent postulated independent nature is what is meant by emptiness. For example, Buddha Palita in his text mentions says that if things and events possesses intrinsic reality and essence, then when we ask for the defining characteristics of that thing, we can simply point to it and say, this is it. So if that is the case, then that would preclude any potential for dependence upon others. What he's saying is that the existence and reality of things can only be understood in terms of dependent origination. They cannot be understood in terms of some discrete, isolated, independent identity. And in some sense, he's kind of, you know, saying that yes, we need to speak about the reality and existence of things, and since they do not have self-defining essences, we can only talk about the reality of things in dependent terms. So in a sense, the expression of a certain desperation of a limit. And therefore, Nagarjuna's statement that everything, you know, that is dependent on origination, dependently originated, is emptiness, and that is dependently designated, suggests that not only do we understand the origination of things in terms of dependence on others, but also one must understand the identity and the reality of things in terms of dependence upon others. And therefore, this understanding of dependent origination is the true middle way, because by understanding the dependent reality, we preclude absolutism of essences, and by understanding their dependent nature, we also preclude nihilism, because we understand their reality in a dependent context. That's why it is a true middle way.
上当上当上当呢？可是上哪里？哦，个等的大个人上，人心一动的，现在怕上不去。人心一动人上，等的大个的，等的大个人上，对住对着就冲不落，你等是个，你不是用啊？上不就落了？下一段，但你看你看你母亲都是高明呢，那就是那么说错了的点子。大明是了的，大是了不赢呢？没大，上不去落了呀，来呀去用过来。
当然，那些人是一当的时候，真的哦，当人上，他如果这个用笔什么去，这里就靠药物差用，就说是错了，有的差不赢了，药物就通用的，药物通怎么的，我当然是都没什么去，等的落个通怎么念呢？我那人是当，当怕你不成，有的去，哎呀，有的，我到底，反正当啊，土木我们倒下是对。
So here, a passage in Kongdang's text is quite helpful, where Kongdang writes in a verse, because the cultivation of the view seeks the ultimate reality of things. So when it analyzes and subjects things and events to critical analysis, and the fact that things cannot be found indicates that this intrinsic nature, the intrinsic reality and essence is negated. But generally, simple unfindability does not coincide with non-existence. The fact that you cannot find something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But if the searching is done by a form of inquiry, that if that thing is there and it should be findable, and then as a result of the inquiry, if it's not found, then that can be seen as constituting a negation. And because the philosophical view that seeks to understand the nature of reality inquires into the essential nature of things, ultimate reality of things, when it fails to find such essence, that indicates the negation of that essence. And then but this unfindability, this culmination of unfindability does not, however, negate the reality of the object itself upon which one is making the inquiry, because the object is the basis upon which the inquiry is being made is a conventional reality. So what we find in the aftermath of this inquiry is mere name, mere label, mere designation. And then he goes on to say that, however, it is on the level of this mere name and mere designation, one has to find a way of understanding the functionality of everything, cause and effect relationships, good and bad distinctions, and so on. And here is the critical point. As Tsongkhapa explains, that the ability to posit a robust reality of causal relationships and distinctions of good and bad, right and wrong actions and so on, while negating intrinsic essence to everything. So on the level of mere name and mere designation, to be able to posit a reality of everyday world, this is the challenge, this is the most difficult point of the Madhyamaka path. And so, So, because of this difficulty, Chantakriti in his text talks about the extreme difficulty of fully appreciating the subtlety of the understanding of emptiness. And in his auto commentary on that particular passage, he says that great masters like Vasubandhu and Dharmapala and so on, have been unable to fully appreciate the implications of the teachings on dependent origination, and in fact out of fear for the deeper implications of dependent origination, they have abandoned. Because they view the idea that things and events do not possess intrinsic reality as constituting nihilism. So from Chantakriti's point of view, the failure to fully understand emptiness is a result of their fear for the full implications of the teachings of dependent origination. So he lists, in fact, people like masters like Vasubandhu and Dharmapala as falling into that category. So the point is that, you know, one needs to have a very deep understanding of the intimate relationship between two ideas. On the one hand, there is dependent origination, and on the other hand, emptiness of inherent existence. And by reflecting deeply upon these two concepts and relating them to each other, one needs to find a way of equating them, so that the dependent origination, understanding of dependent origination, arises in terms of emptiness, and understanding of emptiness arises in terms of dependent origination. So that when you reflect deeply upon emptiness, it immediately conveys the idea of dependent nature of everything. And when you reflect deeply upon the dependent nature of everything, it should convey naturally the understanding that nothing possesses inherent existence and inherent essence. So at the beginning, one needs to cultivate this on an intellectual level, this understanding, by reflecting deeply upon this. And of course, the kind of the reconciliation of the rejection of intrinsic objective existence to things and the reality of everyday functions at the initial stage becomes a challenge. But as you reflect deeply upon this, you may arrive at a point where your understanding will be accompanied by a deeper feeling, an experience of an emotion, so that when you hear terms like self, instinctively you will have a recollection of its non-existence, and when you hear terms like emptiness, instinctively it will conjure the notion of dependent origination. So therefore, and as you deepen this experience, at the initial stage this is an intellectual understanding, but as you deepen this understanding, then it becomes more and more internalized, and it will be accompanied by not just an intellectual understanding, but a kind of a feeling. There will be a tone of experience, so that at some point dependent origination and emptiness will become equal or identical to your mind. Sorry, and this is how one understands the emptiness that is common to both sutra and tantra.
Dungye ki na tebe de yidi, ta mindu shindu, ta dungye ki na tege yore, kare su lepche. 但是你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的人你的 저가 디 야치고로 섬게 로강중나 랑준이지 강사가 섬저도 뭐 쉬워져야 와. 닌지 삼바데게 저도 뭐 쉬워 직선 전도 가버래. 저도 뭐 쉬워 지고 이제 디 저도 뭐 쉬워 영향이 당도 나버려 봐. 뉴모 제베 왕게 저도 뭐 쉬워져야 돼. 라완에 버려도 뭐 쉬워 지도 와. 뒤쳐도 와. 자, 근데 이 산에 닌지 삼바데니 섬래야 도스 남라르스다 지용구도니 디 가라야레 중생야레 태연야레 랑게 대베 탕돌라마 인도 심기 띵데 닝도야레 지동에게 너희도 자네 땅아 가르쳐서 사버지 할래 현토 지르와 중생 자네 가마 중생 시에베 자네 닝지 미고 장도 자네 그도 됐으면 또 시전한으로 지 승부를 내베이네 띠 띵데 시 랑게 동에 파샤제 신지 동에 승부를 하야기 뽑아도 와 닝도도 와, 당도 나와. 그래서 딘데인데, 롤레 차라리 쇼지였어.
Then,
딘데 디, 시니바 디기, 대선을 마세베, 개드 동네 찌기니, 동네 망고 매주나, 라르지르다. 랑라 닝지 삼바고바 디기, 천뷰 찌기, 다, 셀레 머지부 중국 동네, 대왕기, 아니, 시신 난간에 봐서, 로아 시신 내주고, 디시 난에 내주네, 너의 동네 싸우셨어야 하기, 닝도 시키, 마람 시키, 제 윤두 아 철철 뽑아든다 봐 뒤지든다 봐 닝도든다 봐 당구쳐 봐 포크 쳐 쳐도 와 말해 이 말해 자 근데 인도 산에 애는 고추기도 와 자 근데 인도 개들 동네 찍이는 동네 망보 매버는 주야지 용구 두나 세든 댐베 동네 대 랑다 샤나 제생니 어디 선해 야도 와
So in verse 103, Shantideva explains how sufferings deserve to be removed in both from the point of view of conventional truth and from the point of view of ultimate truth as well. And then in verse 104, which he makes a very important statement, which reads, the sorrow felt in pity aggravates, you say. The pain already felt, so why engender it? But can the sting of pity be compared with all that other beings have to suffer? Here, I think Shantideva is making a very important point, because sometimes people may wonder, why should I, take upon myself an additional burden of pain by thinking about others' suffering? I myself have enough pain and suffering. Why should I, add upon this this burden by taking on and sharing in others' pain? So here.
So Jumze Dao Zhu Yare, but na Kishi Leng Zhu Tang Ba Da Changju Si Be Ada Be Kasu Be Xia Ra Be Loma Chen Be Changju Seng Be Kasu Le Zhuang Wei Bu Tu Jiu Tu Zhu Jin Ba Le Jia Zhang Ga Kong Yang Yang Shun De Guo Da Ta Ye Si Jie Ge Du Mei Guo Bu Xie Jie. 저 딜레이 이제 안에 공부 잘해야 랑당 문화고 쓴 무등에 돈 나고 땡땡이지. 저 처비업 이제 랑당 문화고 쓴. 저다가 허락한 사람답이나 그래도 따고한 무등에 소속도 요래라 딜레이 기부 저 대신 여기서 저도가.
And this is actually quite true. In Tibet, there was a great meditator and a master of compassion, Langri Thangpa. He was a student of Sharawa. And Langri Thangpa dedicated his life in the practice of compassion and Lojong. And it is said that Langri Thangpa was constantly weeping. And he was known as the weepy Langri Thangpa with a downcast expression. Because he was constantly reflecting upon others' pain. So, it is possible that by taking on additional sufferings of others, it may add on to one's own anxiety, level of fear, and pain. But what Shantideva is saying here is that the pain that you gain, you experience as a result of sharing another's pain is qualitatively different from the pain that you involuntarily experience without any control. So he says that if with that deliberate taking of other's pain, if it can help other sentient beings, then one should engage in it. And the point is that generally we define afflictions as those mental states and emotions that by their very arising afflicts us from within. So in that sense, yes, you know, sharing another's pain can cause an affliction inside ourselves. But the difference here is that in the case of experiencing one's own pain and suffering, there is a lack of freedom, there is a lack of control, and it's an involuntary experience where, you know, quite often we become overwhelmed and kind of paralyzed, and also we feel kind of frustrated because there is no voluntary activity. The suffering just strikes you, whereas the pain that you experience as a result of sharing in others' suffering is a voluntary pain that you have adopted. Although it may be a painful experience, but underlying that pain is a real sense of courage and also a real sense of determination. And on top of that, there is no element of a loss of freedom that we normally experience when we experience our own pain. So what we find here is a very amazing core state of mind, where the individual who takes up on others' pain has a tremendous courage, a tremendous will, and tremendous determination, and which also provides the individual an ability to make his or her life meaningful, provide a deeper purpose, and also provides an opportunity. So, so if you think along these lines, then you will also be able to relate to the sentiments expressed by Shantideva in another part of the text, where he makes the aspirational prayer, may, as long as space remains and as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain. It's in the chapter 10. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain and dispel the sufferings of beings. So one can then relate emotionally to these kind of sentiments expressed.
Oh yeah.
So then we read, and if through such a single pain a multitude of sorrows can be remedied, such pain as this a loving being strives to foster in himself and others.
That is the same thing.
That
ཁ་ད་ད་ད་ཤེན་ཤེན་ཤེན་དེ་པ་ཐ་རུ་མུ་མ་ཤ་ཤེན་མ་རྒན་སམ་ཤ་ཐམ་ཤ་ཤ་དེ་པེ་ཚ་ཆུ་བྲ་དུ་བ་རོ་ཤ་ད་ད་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ནི་ན 人家就不能信这个，什么叫他那个龙家家？当然，君主拿到的呀，杀算君王全部都拿过来，都当官，甚至包括没办法，那么年纪谁养小，是啥呢？他让他看着他，那是现在的，是不是这个？他让着他，他给他喊来了，他看到让给绿啊，一送，改造的这个，他们叫了，先军不是绿啊，他没钱，当然的，那你先去解释来说，啥子呢？你是啥呢？
Then in verse 106, Shantideva is alluding to a story of a bodhisattva who dedicated his life for the pursuit of altruistic activity. And then from verse 111, and then the actual practice of the exchanging of self and others start. Beginning with Shantideva's argument that it is possible to make this exchange of self and others. And here he gives the example of how the sense of self in our case, in the case of individuals, arises naturally with relation to the physical basis, which in actual fact belongs to someone else's bodies, parents, regenerative fluids, on the basis of which we then identify ourselves and call this is me and this is self. So he argues that through constant familiarity, one will be able to then utilize the term us towards other sentient beings, so that one can embrace all other sentient beings within this category of us and oneself. And here, and I think this is an important point, so that when we relate to other sentient beings, we do not have the notion of others as somehow constituting of, you know, someone or people out there at a distance, somehow unrelated to us. And here, I feel that the Tibetan cultural habit of using expressions such as, you know, mother sentient beings is truly wonderful. Regardless of whether individual Tibetans are capable of fully embodying that ideal, but the simple act of using that expression on a daily basis, or, you know, mother sentient beings, really conveys the ideal of embracing all beings into this category of us and relate to oneself. And and especially if someone who's brought up in this kind of conditioning, cultural conditioning, is able to relate deeply to the sentiments, this ideal of referring to all sentient beings as mother sentient beings, then if someone has truly embodied that ideal, then such activities as killing other beings and causing harms to other beings will be almost impossible because of having internalized that ideal. So in verse 112 we read why then not identify another's body calling it my I, and vice versa? Why should it be hard to think of this my body as another's? So here Shantideva is making the point that one should be able to extend this identification towards others and embrace them. And if someone is truly living this ideal of embracing all other beings as oneself, and then dedicates one's life to bringing about the welfare of these sentient beings, then one can relate to sentiments expressed in Nagarjuna's Ratnavali, the precious garland, where he says that just as the natural elements of the great natural elements of the world, such as earth, water, fire, and wind, and so on. And may I be, you know, may every part of my being be of service, of sustenance to all other sentient beings. Similarly, Shantideva makes these sentiments, aspirations in his text, that just as the great natural elements of the world, may I, since a Bodhisattva practitioner has dedicated his own, this is in chapter 3, since the Bodhisattva practitioner has dedicated his or her entire being to the welfare of other sentient beings, then just as the sentient beings would partake and utilize, partake in nature and utilize the various resources of the nature for their own sustenance and well-being, in the same manner, Shantideva makes the point that those who have dedicated themselves fully should then dedicate their entire beings, view their own existence as purely for the purpose of fulfilling others' welfare.
That is, Lagwara Shebe, one is, and Dungi, Dungzin also taught us, Ran Jinzin De, and Pa Tor, Shushunta, Shana on the Kobachas, and Shan Jinzin De, Ta, Pa Kasore, Majibi, Giva Koneko to Peagi, and Kumji Dengore, this one shot. Chida Lagwara Soba, Ludi Yana Yindu Tar, Tishin Droe Yana to. Jesus, that Chang 咱 누구 손에 자주 있어? 네 경호 손에 자주 있어? 그래.
아야. So then Chandradeva explains in verse 113 the need to reflect upon the disadvantages of self-centeredness and self-cherishing, and the advantages and benefits of cherishing others' welfare. And then on the basis of that, he explains that one must distance from self-cherishment and embrace the practice of cherishing others. Then he then goes on to explain how just as the various parts of the body are part of the overall body, and when you have the understanding of the need to take care of your body, you'll be able to extend that same care to the entire part of the body. Similarly, if through your practice you're able to cultivate a deep sense of empathy and concern for the entire sentient beings, then you will be able to relate to individual sentient beings in a similar manner, because individual sentient beings belong to the same category which you have embraced as us. So he explains how this is possible. And then in verse 119, he then acknowledges that such practice may be very difficult on the beginner stage. So we read, and so we should be undeterred by hardships, for by influence of use and habit, people even come to grieve for one whose very name strikes terror in their hearts. So what he is saying is great challenge and difficulty for initial, you know, beginners, practitioners, but one should not kind of, you know, avoid because of that difficulty and because of that challenge. And in my own personal case, you know, although I'm not saying this to boast about my own experience, but in my 30s, I spent an extended period of time reflecting deeply upon emptiness and meditating on emptiness. And as a result of which, I remember reaching a point where my understanding of the nature of cessation, the true cessation, was quite deepened, and to the point where I used to feel, yes, I can now see the possibility of attaining true cessation. And when and if and when I do attain that state, I'm going to take a long rest. So I used to feel that. And whereas compared to meditation on emptiness, when I thought about when I turned my thoughts towards bodhicitta, the awakening mind, of course I truly admire the ideal of bodhicitta, but I used to feel that, well, this is a wonderful ideal, this is truly great ideal, but in practice very hard. So there was a kind of a distance, although I cherished the ideal, but there was in my mind a much closer sense to the practice of compassion, practice of emptiness. However, as a result of again meditating and reflecting deeply upon the teachings on bodhicitta, the awakening mind, particularly reading very closely Nagarjuna's Precious Garland, Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, and many other Mahayana texts that explain in great detail the practices of bodhicitta, over time my heart has drawn much closer to bodhicitta. And then to the point where now, you know, when I think about bodhicitta, it immediately creates a tremendous experience and feeling, emotion in me, so much so that you know, I could claim that for me, you know, although I cannot claim to embody the actual ideal and the realization in me, but I can claim that bodhicitta is my best friend. So for me, so much so that for me, you know, when I'm alive, it is the bodhicitta, practice of the bodhicitta is the key. If I'm dying, bodhicitta is the key. If I'm in my intermediate state, the bodhicitta will be the key. In my next life, bodhicitta will be the key. Whether I am happy, bodhicitta will be the key. When I'm experiencing misfortune, bodhicitta will be the key. And when I'm dealing with friends, bodhicitta will be And the key, when I'm confronting my enemies and dealing with my enemies, bodhicitta will be the key.
Everybody, of course, have the same potential. They entirely depend on our effort, our determination, and the conviction. That's important. But here is a conviction, not just mere faith, but by analytical meditation. That's very important. Yeah, that is what it is. So then in verse
120, Shantideva makes a summation saying that those of us who genuinely aspire to attain the full omniscience of the Buddhahood, then there is no other path but to engage in the practice of bodhicitta, exchanging self and others. So we read, those desiring speedily to be a refuge for themselves and all others, other beings, should interchange the terms of I and other, and thus embrace a sacred mystery.
Should don't go there.
In the early days, 1959 early 1960s, I had a Tibetan translator. So every time he had to translate and speak in English, he would wet his lips first. And especially there were a few letters such as F, which is difficult for the Tibetan tongue.
You see, like in France or French or like that, then usually we have the sound like France. For Paul. Like that. When I was young, you see, in Nobulinga, I used to play with some, what's it, sweeper. So some of these sweepers are ex-soldier. So at that time, you see, our soldier, you see, trained by sort of these English words.
No.
So fire, they say, fire, like that.
Ade,
dilo sushi dashin to tawa meji nye meji sta yan chi be lo jong de de chen de na ka be lu gu so ko cha ko ro ba de de me ni na yan ang lu le chi che xin ru shu chen bu chi ge de yan chi nyam le pa che de ko yong si be yin de yan de song sha
and then in verse 21 onwards Shantideva explains practices of dealing with possible attachment to one's body, which may come in the way of cultivating bodhicitta and mind training. Generally, sometimes it is possible that because our human body is always present, and so our relationship with our body can come in the way of particularly strong attachment, can come in the way of practicing mind training. So in these stanzas, Shantideva explains thought processes which could help overcome this, deal with this.
Oh yeah, that's it.
So we'll stop here.